Kind of got two sermons in one, and we'll see where we get with it and how fast we go, if we'll get it done this morning or we'll get it done tonight. Matthew chapter 16. I want to talk about save it till afterwards. Verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, and this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." So you can see here that Jesus is thinking about pleasing his Father and going to the cross. Peter is thinking about Jesus' physical body. And he says, you're not thinking about the things of God, you're thinking about the things of men. The things of men are the things of this life and this world. And that's most people. Most people, you're more concerned about your health and your wealth than you're concerned about eternity. And that's the natural condition of mankind. That's common. Verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then shall he reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll talk about save it until afterward. Let's pray. And Father, I sure do need your help, Lord. I thank you for all these precious souls who came to church today, Lord, and took time. Lord, some of them are in every spiritual condition, in every earthly condition, in every emotional condition. Some are happy and joyful today, and some are depressed. Some are doing well financially, some are struggling, some are have real sin in their life, and some are having victory right now. And Lord, every single person is different, but you know the need. And I pray that right now that you would give us your power. I pray that you would speak to every heart individually, take us individually, and change our lives, Father, and speak to us and give us what we need today. We ask you'd please touch our hearts and our minds. Through your word, may you take my mind and my body, my soul, everything I have, Lord. Take it and control it and empower it with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Help me to say what you once said. And please bless us now, Father. Help us now, we pray, in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Just like, can you turn this guy up a little bit? My voice is a little weak today, and I want to talk a little quieter. Jesus was a living sacrifice. He taught his disciples that. He was willing to sacrifice himself and sacrifice all. He was living the Christian life of sacrifice, and he was willing to do it. And he said, I'm going to go and die. And he told them, he began to show his disciples, verse 21, how he's going to be killed and raised again the third day. And he was living a sacrificial life and willing to give everything for God. And he taught his disciples the same thing. He taught them, you deny yourself, you live for me, you live for eternity, and then in heaven you get great rewards. We'll read many verses here in Matthew where he was already teaching them, he'd already taught them, you got to live for eternity. You get great reward in heaven if you do the right thing. If you don't do the right thing, you don't get any reward, and you get in a lot of trouble. And you don't get to serve God and please God with your life. And so he had taught them that, and now he's talking about, now I'm going to go do this. And the disciples, as many times, they didn't get it. Be patient with people. People don't always get it when you teach them the first time or second time or 50th time. It takes some time sometimes. And Peter says, no, you're not. That is not going to happen to you. You're not going to go and die on the cross. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. He says, you don't care about the things of God. You don't have a taste for the things of God. You just care about the things of this world. And you do not care enough for the things of God. And you're just caring about this life. Who cares about this body? This body is temporary. This body does not matter. And I'm going to die, and that's what I want to do. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm willing to do that. Because I want to please my Father, and I got a great reward. Jesus said, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. God, Jesus knew that he was going to face God the Father. He knew that we would get saved. He knew who would get saved and who wouldn't. He knew he'd die for our sins. And he said, the joy of that eternal reward is enough for me to be willing to sacrifice my entire body. I read a lot of things and have many interests in many things of learning. And one of the things I've been, I'm always interested in learning is about money. Not making money, not becoming rich. That doesn't interest me at all. I don't even have that taste, really. I don't like fancy stuff. I break it all. So I don't like really nice things. If I had a $600 suit, it'd get stained, and I'd rip the buttons off just like I do with a $100 suit. Or if I had a nice car, I would kick the door closed like I do my cars and dent it. And a mansion has too many rooms to clean. And so I don't really have that taste. So I don't really like that nice of things. I'm as comfortable in a flannel shirt as I am in a $600 suit. Money, the Bible talks a lot about money and its power and controlling it and what to do with it. And it's a huge subject in the Bible. It talks more about money than heaven in the Bible. It's an important subject because where your treasure is, there your heart be also. And so I study finances a lot. I have to counsel a lot of people on their finances and how to deal with their finances. Nobody knows how to deal with their money anymore. And the parents aren't teaching the kids. And so I look at money. I read a lot about finances and economy and investing and a lot of that stuff. And it's been very confusing this last year. It's been a confusing 2 years financially. I knew the recession was coming. I knew it was going to be a bad one. I warned y'all about it. I told you what to do ahead of time, and we prepared ourselves for it, and the church prepared itself for it, and so we've been able to weather it fine. But as it happened, I thought we were going to have a total collapse in the middle of it, and I didn't think that was a bad thing. I thought we needed a big collapse. We needed to change the entire way we do things financially. We need to change our whole system. Everybody overspends. The funny thing is, everybody condemns everybody else for overspending. The average citizen who is in massive debt with his credit cards is criticizing the government for running a deficit. And the government criticized the banks for not having enough money to back up their investments. And the banks criticize the people who can't pay them back for the amount of money they borrow from the credit cards, which they give them credit for. And all of them are doing the exact same thing, and all of them criticize other people for doing it. Don't criticize a government for spending $1.4 trillion this year that they don't have when you spend $10,000 that you don't have. Amen, Pastor. It's good preaching, and it's good stuff. Don't criticize the banks, those evil bank people. They shouldn't have given me that credit card. And did they take you to the store and run it in the store for your stuff you don't need? Did they make you buy a $600 pair of wheels that spin while your car is sitting still for your car and you're mad at the credit card company? No. And so everything collapsed. It started to collapse. The government backs up with the FDIC all of our money in the banks, so they felt they had to bail out the banks. They bailed out the banks. The banks started foreclosing on so many houses that they couldn't sell them anymore, and they decided they were going to start making deals with people who have the houses. They won't foreclose on those anymore, and they all tried to save it, and somehow it kind of stayed together. In the middle of that, what happened is a bunch of Americans got very nervous. The dollar might collapse, which it still might, by the way. The dollar might collapse. You might have inflation that you've never seen before. That still might happen. We're not out of this thing yet. And what happened? Everybody started saving their money and quit spending. And they said, we don't know if there's going to be any money. I'm going to quit spending. And then all the businesses started laying people off because nobody's buying anything. We have a problem. We don't produce things anymore. And so everybody's service-based things and stores started closing. And our unemployment went to whatever it is now. It's very hard to tell what it is because they play with the numbers. But somewhere between 10 and 16% is our, 70% is our unemployment in that area. People started saving their money, which was good. If people would have kept saving their money, and we would have started basing our economy not on credit, but on cash, and our government would have started saying, you know what, we're only going to spend money that we have, it would have been a massive, drastic change top to bottom, bottom person in our economy, the poorest person, all the way to the richest person. Everybody would have changed what they do and said, we can't live on this credit anymore. That's what I thought was going to happen. And I was excited about that. No matter how bad it hurt, we had to do that. The government said, we are going to spend 24% more this year we don't have. People had saved their money for a while. And then I read an article, and it was just article. Not for me. I can be fine. God's going to provide my needs either way. I prepared myself for it, and I'm not worried about it. But because we didn't learn our lesson. This article is CNN Money. Consumer behavior... This is a funny headline. Consumer behavior shows recession is over. So, what it says is, people are spending money now, so the recession must be over. No, that headline, if I retranslated that, is, people did not learn anything. People began spending again, though they don't have jobs yet. And there's a bunch of lines. a bunch of things about the article and the different numbers and everything. It says, wages aren't up and unemployment isn't down, but people are starting to spend money again. Now, I'm not real good at math here, but if people aren't making more money and they're spending money again, they must be spending money that they don't have. Except for one thing, just a line here. Voting with their wallets. Consumer spending is improving at a faster pace than many had expected at this stage in the recovery. The savings rate, which soared last year when people were afraid they'd lose their jobs and homes, has started to decline. All the news right now that's saying things are going well in the economy is this right here. Here's a funny thing. Our entire economy is based on credit right now. People spend money when they have credit, not when they have cash. Okay? I'm not teaching about that and money and whether that's good or bad. I'm just saying our economy, they'll say credit is flowing again, so the economy is going good. And people are borrowing again, so the economy is going good. That's what got us into this. People didn't have money, but they just borrowed money. The government did have money. The Federal Reserve didn't have money, but they gave the banks money they didn't have. The banks took the money, and they have 9% of that money in the bank. The rest of it's loaned out. That's all they have to have, 9%. They give the money out, and people don't have money, borrow the money, and spend that money that they don't have, that the banks don't have, that the government doesn't have. And they say the economy's improving because credit is increased, and people are borrowing more. That's the way they judge the economy now, is whether people are borrowing more or whether there's more credit going out, not whether people are buying durable goods anymore. It's a totally different economy. It will collapse at some point, and I hope you are prepared for that by being close to God. The savings rate has now declined, so things are going well. That's what it says. Did you understand... Your grandparents, if you're my age or younger, or your parents, if you're 50 or older, they saved a whole bunch of money to buy their house. You say, their house is only $5,000, but that was $75,000 now. You say, houses aren't $75,000. They would be if people saved their money to buy them. The houses are $400,000 now because you can buy it with all credit and just keep on paying forever and have all kinds of ARMs and other kinds of loans and balloon payments to pay it for a little while and hope that something happens. All that to say, instead of, we're a young couple, we get married, I'm going to work hard and we're going to save our money and be thrifty and not spend our money, and we're not even going to have a car. We don't live that far from work. We're going to save and 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 save. And all of a sudden I got $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. We have saved over 3 or 5 or 10 years our money. Now we're going to go buy our house. Or somewhere along the way, after a year of saving, we're going to buy a car now with that first $1,000 and save the rest. Instead of that, the hard work and the, I have earned this now, and I will buy this now. We don't have that mentality. We now have a mentality. This is so true. It's funny. We have a mentality now of, I want that now. I'm going to get it now, and then I will work to pay for it later. And the immediate gratification that our society demands, everybody's got to have everything right now. That's why you get grumpy at McDonald's when you have to pull up to the little parking spot. What do you mean park in the, what do they call that spot? The courtesy, what do they call that spot? Good night, it's been 3 minutes. I mean, we are such an instant gratification society that we have to say, I've got to have it right now. You don't have to have it right now. You have to have food and life and a healthy family right now if you're lucky. You don't have to have everything right now. I gotta have it. Ooh, it's the newest thing. That's why wacky, crazy people line up in front of Walmart and Target on the night before Tickle Me Elmo or whatever comes out and go tackle each other in the store for it. Buy it in 2 days. Don't stand outside all night and wrestle at some ugly woman for a stupid... Give me my Elmo. It's an Elmo doll, dummy. It's going to be cheap in a week. The PlayStation 2 comes out, the new thing comes out, because I got to have it right now. The newest video game's out. Listen, they're telling Brian and Annie were going to Walmart. What's this huge line? There was a video coming out at midnight. Some dumb vampire video thing that you shouldn't know what it is. And it's coming out. I got to have it right now. You can't watch it in the morning and not wait in line. But everybody in our society, when they got to have something, they got to have something. And nobody wants to suffer now and enjoy later. Ecclesiastes said, it's better for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Most of my life is blessed now because of suffering I did at 18, 19, and 20. But everybody wants to be happy now and pay the piper later. That's a foolish way to live. That's a foolish way to live. And that's what today I want to talk about is I want you to save it till afterward. Don't sit here and say, well, I'm going to spend my money now. I can spend it again and I can borrow and I can do this. I'm not talking about money. This sermon is not at all about money. Money is a picture of our lives. You usually handle money according to your character. If you're a person without restraint in your life, you handle money without restraint. If you're a person of unrestrained passion, you spend your money right away. If you're a careful person, you're careful with your money. If you're a person under control, you can control your money. Money controls you, or you control money. And you become a slave to money. It's just a picture of it. We never learned this lesson about just, I've got to have it right now. Whatever happened to someone living in an apartment, and then another bigger apartment, and then a condo, and then a cheap house, and then they get their nice house? Not anymore. They're 24 and they're driving a Beamer. They're 25 and they've got to have the 4,000 square foot house and they don't even have any kids. And they got a 3-car garage for 2 people. It is a picture of our mindset where we want everything now and we do not understand delayed gratification. Delayed gratification is a very important thing in life. It's why you don't have sex until you're married. You don't just take everything you want right now and say, I'm going to drag this because of my own pleasure. I got to have it, got to have it, got to have it. It's like, I want to eat so much that I'm just going to go have some surgery to make it so I'll lose all the weight afterward. Why don't you restrain yourself now so you don't have to have that surgery? Why don't people just decide, I want us Christians, and I'm just showing a picture of money, I'm showing a picture of life because it's a mentality that bleeds into our life, our money, our relationships, that is, I want pleasure now, I'll take care of the rest and I'll just suffer later or do whatever I have to do later, but I want pleasure right now. That mentality that we have as Americans that goes from our government all the way down to every one of us, we get what we deserve. We are like that. It bleeds into our spiritual life. And we want God to bless us now, and we want a good life now, and we are not living for eternity because that's even harder to live for. Because you can't see it. And today I want to just say, save it till afterward. Put your money aside so later you will be set aside in heaven. Put your money aside figuratively on earth. Put your life aside right now and say, I'm going to put my life aside so that later on I will inherit great things in heaven. The Bible is full of sacrifice now for reward later. Or it is also full of reward now and sacrifice later. The Bible's got a bunch of people who sacrifice now and rewarded later, and it's got a bunch of people who rewarded now and sacrifice later. I had a relative of mine started smoking very young, and people used to lecture that my sister, and I lecture all the time about smoking when you're so young, you're just a teenager. Started smoking. She says, I don't want to live past 50. I don't care. She's approaching 50 now, and she cares. He cares now. And all of a sudden, later on, you say, why did I... would you get older if you don't live your life well? You look back and say, oh, my soul, I wish I could live my life over again. I would do a whole bunch of things different, and I'd be a lot happier now. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to get to be 50 or 60 and say, boy, I wish I would have No, I want to. If I have to do things now that are going to make me happy later, I want to do that. The prodigal son spent all. That was a lot of fun, spending all. And then he was with the pigs, trying to eat the pigs' food. A lot of fun now, not much fun later. Instant gratification now, misery later. Jesus said in this verse, he said, what, verse 26, what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He says, why would you, if you could go around right now and gain the entire world, why would you do that when you lose your own soul? Jesus sacrificed everything to get everything. But boy, his life on earth was called a man of sorrows, because he said, I'm going to suffer now to be glorified later. Suffer now to get souls in heaven for eternity. Suffer now to have my Father say, this is my Son in whom I have well pleased. I am pleased now. Exercising when you're out of shape is not fun right now. But being out of shape and being really having serious health issues later is not fun either. And in the spiritual realm, and I've applied this a lot of ways to the earthly realm, but in the spiritual realm, if you just decide to take it easy now, you will not be happy later, and later lasts for a lot longer. As a matter of fact, later lasts for billions and trillions of years. It lasts forever. And what you weave in time, you wear in eternity. And the more time you spend on this earth living for yourself and for the happiness of this world right now, the less you have then. And some people who suffered very dearly now get great treasure then. Our prosperity gospel preachers are trying to tell you to be, you get both. You don't get both. Jesus didn't get both. Let me just give you a few points on this. Number one, don't spend your soul now and lose it later. Don't spend your soul now and lose it later. Verse 26, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That is salvation, folks. I don't want to be saved. I don't want to serve God. I just want to go out in my sin, and I don't care. I'm going to have fun. What if you had so much fun, you got everything in life you could ever dream? Which won't happen. But let's pretend like that. You are going to be the richest person in the world. You're going to have everything you wanted. You're going to get every dream you ever had. Anything you thought up you could have your whole life, and it was going to happen for the next 50 years of your life. And you burn for next 50 trillion years. Is that worth it? It's not going to happen. First of all, you won't get everything you want. But if you could, what does it profit if you became king of the world? Anything, everybody served you, you had anywhere, you lived wherever, had whatever you wanted. What would it profit? Even in that ridiculous situation that doesn't happen, you won't be king of the world. If you gain the whole world and you lost your own soul, you never dwelt with God in paradise, you never knew God. Don't spend your soul now and lose it later. Nothing in this world is worth you saying no to God. He's died for your sins and he loves you. Yes, your sins have separated you from God, but God loves you. Your sins make you guilty before God, and he wants you to repent of those sins. Well, I don't want to. Well, what's it going to profit you? You keep on doing your sin and you lose your soul. Do not spend your soul now and lose it later. Even if you could get the whole world, it wouldn't be worth it not to go to heaven and be with God in perfection for eternity. Number two, don't spend your reward now and lose it later. Don't spend your reward now and lose it later. Let me take you back to Matthew 5. Don't take your reward now and lose it later. For example, take persecution. Matthew 5 and verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So when you go and serve God and you take a stand for Christ, you will be made fun of and be persecuted, and you will not be liked as much. That's true, isn't it? Amen? You say, I want to be liked right now, and you can do that. You know what? If you just act like the world and do not take a stand for Christ, you don't give out any New Testaments, don't give out any tracts, don't go tell anybody about God, don't love people and preach them the gospel, you just talk about the same things and tell the jokes with the people at work and the guys in the neighborhood, you won't suffer any persecution. They'll like you and everything else, and you'll be happier right now. It's not fun to have them not like you. It's not fun to have them make fun of you. But it said, rejoice in that day. You're blessed when they persecute you. Verse 11, blessed are you and men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. Persecution is an opportunity to take advantage of. It says you get great reward in heaven. I would rather have great reward that I'm going to get and last for a million years. Listen, what if they fired me from my job because I took a stand for Christ? Listen, I'd rather lose my job and go back to make a minimum wage if I was working some job out in the world right now. I would rather do that and go back to a minimum wage. And then in heaven, God gives me huge rewards that's way greater and it lasts for billions of years. I can find another job, but I don't get another chance to earn my rewards in heaven. I would rather be persecuted for righteousness' sake and suffer, and it's not fun. I can remember so many times when I first started serving God, when I hadn't changed my friends yet, and boy, my friends making fun of me. I remember them being in the car when they're doing bad things, and them giving the stuff to me and trying to get me to do it and making fun of me, and it wasn't fun when you're a teenager and you're insecure, and you're 16 or 17 years old, and everybody else is drinking, and you're in the car, and you're not drinking. Why? I'm a Christian now. What? And they make fun of you when you used to drink with them just like they did and do all the things with them. But you know what? Greater is your reward in heaven. Do not spend your reward now and lose it later. We said, first of all, take persecution. Number two, and by the way, do not fight back and yell and scream at them and make fun of them. Love them. Let them persecute you. You get treasure in heaven. Number two, do what you do for the right reason. Look at Matthew 6. There's a forward chapter there. Do what you do for the right reason. If you want to get, if you want to spend it and not spend it now. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. That's pretty simple right there. I say, you know what? I'm giving the offering today. And you say, I want everybody to know how much I give. Bible says, if you give, you get a reward in heaven, unless you give it to be seen of men. So here comes the offering plate. And you say, got 20 today. Ooh, feeling good. And you go, I want everybody to see this. I'll unfold my 20. And I'll do Michael Jordan. Everybody see that? That says, why would I want to bother to give if I'm going to give to be seen of men? Why would I want to give if I'm not going to get it back in heaven, if I'm not going to get treasure in heaven, if it's just for to be seen of men? You know what? It's not that big a deal to be how people be impressed by you. I don't know. That's one thing I guess I struggle with many things in my life. One thing I'll struggle with is I don't think it's all that great to have you think I'm wonderful. You know what? Everybody knows how much I gave, and they'll all be so impressed with me. I'm not more impressed with you. I don't know who gives what, but I'm not more impressed with you if you give. I don't know. You might have $1 million in the bank, and you give $1,000. How do I know if that's impressive or not? That might be nothing. The person who might give $1 might be more impressive because they've got $4 in their bank account. And that might be more impressive than, to me, that somebody gives. I'm not worried about the church's bills and my finances. I'm worried about that. God will provide the needs. I'm not worried about that. What's impressive to God? And if you do what you do to be seen by people and say to people, oh, aren't you wonderful? Aren't you good? God says, that's your reward. You just got your reward. You could have saved it for eternity. Now, if I go up and I say, thanks, Brian, for preparing those things on passports. The Bible says, I'm supposed to give honor to whom honor is due. He's not losing his reward because he didn't do it for that. He says, to be seen of men. If you come to church to be seen of men, then you lose your reward. Now, it'll still do you good, but you lose your reward in heaven. Do not lose your reward now for later. But it's not just in giving. It says, be so private in verse 3, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You can pray for the wrong reason and lose your reward. Praying is not easy work. Listen, you don't pray to impress people. I mean, you can pray in King James and it still doesn't make any more spiritual. Thou great God which art in heaven. I mean, I'm King James, but I like King James, but you don't have to pray in it to impress God. You don't have to pray to impress me. You don't have to pray to impress anybody else. Don't do what you do to be seen of men. Well, I prayed and everybody thinks I'm the most spiritual man in church now. Is that why you prayed? If you pray to be seen of man, you take your word right now and say, that felt good. Everyone thinks highly of me. That's awesome. And fine, you feel good about yourself, and that's okay, but you didn't get the reward in heaven. And also, I believe that God also teaches here that you're not going to get your answer on earth because your reward for that prayer was people patting you on the back. You prayed it to impress people, and you impress people, so there's your reward. You got it. You got your paycheck. Can't get a second one. And it says, verse 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Don't lose your, don't do what you do for the wrong reasons and lose your reward now. Number 3, earn it by doing the hard thing. If you don't want to spend your reward now, and so you lose it later, earn your reward by doing the hard thing. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise in the evil and the good, and sendeth the rain in the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? It says, you want to get great reward? It says, do the hard thing, which is love your enemies. It's easy to love those who are nice to you, but you don't get a reward for it because it's easy. It's like, God, I went skiing this weekend, reward me. God says, you wanted to. God, I ate a bacon burger this weekend, reward me. God says, that's not any sacrifice. You wanted to do that. You don't get reward for things that are easy. You get reward for sacrifice. And he says, anybody can love their neighbor. Oh, God, give me a great reward. I love my wonderful, cute little child. Well, it wasn't hard. That child will get treasure in heaven for loving you because it might be a little more difficult. But you get reward when somebody's mean to you, nasty to you, and you go and love them anyway and be kind to them and you be their friend and you be nice to them when they're mean to you and you go the extra mile and give them your cloak also. God says, wow, I'm impressed. You're going to get reward for that from me. That's how you get reward, is doing the hard thing. Do the hard thing. Life is like this. It's like a guy comes, you got two jobs at work. You got the job over here where all the nice customers come to buy their things, and you can take that job, and that job is minimum wage. And then you got the nasty, angry customer line, which is over here, and that job pays $1,000 an hour. And this line over here, they're going to cuss you out and be mad at you. How many have ever done customer service with bad, angry customers? How many have ever done that? Isn't that fun? And over here, this is $1,000 an hour, and they're going to cuss you and yell at you and say you're an idiot, you're stupid, and you're dumb, and this and that. And you come to work that day, and you want the minimum wage over here with the nice customers, or do you want the $1,000 an hour mean customers? Which would you take? I'm going to take $1,000 an hour. I'm going to take the minimum wage and the nice people. I would hate this job, but I retire pretty quick. 40 hours a week, $1,000 an hour, a lot of money. Times that by 52, 40,000 times 52, that is a lot of money. And I would do that for a year. and retire. And let this guy for 40 years sit there and deal with the nice people. I'd be playing shuffleboard in the Bahamas. I'd be old by then, shuffleboard. You know what? That's the way it is. You want to live an easy life and not do anything for God and not sacrifice and not witness and not be laughed at and not love your enemies and not do the hard thing? Fine. Not a lot of reward for it, but it's pretty easy. Some of us who want to do something great for God, we have to go through persecution. We have to love our enemies. We have to give our tithe to God. We have to sacrifice, and it hurts sometimes. It's tough, but guess what? I'm retired, and you'll be working for 40 more years. And in eternity, when I'm rich, if I do what's right, and you're rich, you do what's right, you'll be glad you did. Oh, you could have lived easy now. Yeah, I could have. Could have dropped out of high school, never went to college, and you could have had fun not going to school every day. But might not like it when you're 40 and still saying, may I take your order, please? At the drive-thru window. When you're 40 and 50. I'd rather sacrifice. I'd rather not do things easy and do things the hard way. Number next, work hard now, rest later. Work hard now, rest later. There's so many verses I can read in this. Turn to Revelation 22. Work hard now, rest later. While you're turning to Revelation 22, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. It says, for he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall be rewarded according to his own labor. You're rewarded according to your labor. The Bible says that wherefore we labor, that we may be accepted of him. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. And then Revelation chapter 22. You work hard now, you rest later. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. You know what? I know I'm preaching the choir here because you know what? You're here. And you took time, and you're busy, and you have a busy life, and you took time to come to church today. And you know what? You could have slept in and rested and done other things and worked in the yard or whatever you do on your spare time. But you know what? You took time to come here, and you get treasure in heaven. Did we lose a little sleep? Yeah, some of us did. But you know what? You work hard now, and you get reward later. You sacrifice a little bit now. You go spend your weekend. Some of you guys, you work hard all week long, and then Pastor, had you come go soul winning on Saturday, and then you go to church all day Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. It's okay. I know you're busy. I know what it's like to be very busy, and I understand that. But you know what? You are sacrificing your time, but you're working hard now, and in heaven you'll get treasures, and they'll far exceed. The Bible says the things of heaven are not worthy to be compared with the things that we suffer now. Reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed unto us. It's $1,000 an hour. It's that kind of reward where it's totally, totally worth it. Work hard now, rest later. You're going to be a little tired if you're a good Christian. More tired if you're a good Christian. You're going to be. Suffer it now and get rewards later. Next, don't let anyone take your reward. Don't let any man take your reward. We're in Revelation. Go back to chapter 3. There's three verses in the Bible that talk about somebody taking a reward. And I'm not going to turn to all of them because of time, but Revelation 3, we'll turn there. Two of those times, it is by bad doctrine. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. It says, behold, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, let no man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11. Let no man take your crown. Can you imagine you're earning crowns in heaven, you're going to get them forever, and somebody on earth takes that crown away from you, and people can. How about, it's called a crown of rejoicing, crown of life. But you know what? Some people let somebody in their life, and some people let somebody ruin their entire life, and they get bitter and never become a good Christian because they're mad at their mom, or they're mad at their dad, or they're mad at their uncle, they're mad at their ex-wife, or whatever, and they let that person ruin their whole life. Don't let them take your reward. You live a good, godly, wonderful life and just live in victory. Don't let anybody take away. You know what? You could have been a good Christian and won those souls of Christ, but that person kept getting you mad, and you lost your temper and blew it. And they took away your crown. Let no man take your reward, it says in 2 John verses 7 and 8. Do not let people take away your rewards. Don't let them do it. You do it for God, and you just keep on going, and you tough it out. Suffer now, reward later. By the way, it's really not suffering that much for us as Christians in America. It's suffering for the ones who really are getting fired for being a Christian, and the ones who really are getting persecuted, and the ones who are really getting beaten, and the ones who are getting put in jail for being a Christian. They're sacrificing now. We're so blessed, we don't really they can't fire you for being a Christian. It's against the law. You could, if you wanted to, and you shouldn't, sue people for persecuting you. You know what? We have our little sacrifices and get great reward later. We should be willing to do that. There's three little kids. Johnny, Mikey, and Stevie. And not related to anybody in this room. And these three little guys, they are good little kids. And they get put in this giant playland. It is a huge, 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 massive playland. And it's got every dream in the world for a kid. Candy everywhere. Rides, giant roller coasters, and water slides, and everything you can imagine for a kid. Hot dogs and contests and basketball and football, and I mean, it's just massive acreage of dreamland for kids. Johnny, Mikey, and Stevie get put in there by the owner of everything. And so I'm going to put you guys in here, and I want you guys to listen to my rules. I have a bunch of rules. It's written down. Here's the book that tells all about the rules. And I got a bunch of rules for you guys. And here's the gist of the thing. At the end of this day, you have 24 hours here. At the end of this day, I'm going to take away everything you've gotten from here. You don't get to keep anything. And if you keep the rules in my rule book, I own the whole world, so you get massive things and incredible things that you can earn while you're in there. But we're going to take away everything you get while you're there. You're going to walk out with nothing but the clothes in your back. You don't get to keep anything. And here's the rules. First of all, this is the door that's the way out of here. At the end of this 24 hours, this place is gone. There's nothing left. And you got to go out the door, and this is the door, and you got to believe me, that door is the way. If you don't believe it, you can't get out of here. So that's the door. You got to believe in that door. And here's a bunch of things. I want you, here's enough. I'm going to give you enough to get by, but I want you to help people, to be kind to the children there. I wanted you to teach a bunch of the kids about the door. I want you to help anyone who has needs. I want you to not worry about the things that are just there for the day, but all the way to earn prizes when you get out. And I want you to go and earn things, and do not worry about tangible things, and don't worry about yourself. Just worry about the treasures when you get out. I'm also going to put an evil person in here, and he's going to try to get you to exchange all of the things that you get when you get out for the things that are in there for today. But they'd be really dumb to do, because the thing ends in 24 hours and nothing goes out. Bye! Have fun! Off they go, Mikey and Johnny and Stevie. And well, Mikey's Johnny... He says, I'm going to do exactly what he said. I've got enough stuff here, and I'm going to go help other kids that are all running around here. I'm going to tell them about the door. I'm going to give them stuff. I'm going to be good. Well, Mikey, he's not quite so much. Mikey kind of likes to play, and he thinks about all the stuff that he's got, and he's got all these ideas of what's on the outside and all the prizes and all the great things he's got. And he heard rumor there's a mansion for the good kids, and he heard rumor that when you get out of there, there is incredible things that never get taken away, and there is a giant slide he heard about, that when you go down that slide, it slides you down this thing, and then you go into the water, and there's water skiing in the water, and you can go to the shore and go fishing. I mean, it was just paradise everywhere outside, and you get this stuff, but you got to earn all that stuff while you're inside. And boy, they all knew about it. Mikey, he thought about stuff, but then he goes inside, and it's like, kids, play. And he goes around and starts doing what the kid does. He runs around and starts playing. He starts riding the rides. He goes and takes some of the stuff that he's not supposed to spend, and he starts spinning it, and he starts stuffing his face with cotton candy and hot dogs and eating everything, and he forgets all about tomorrow. The other one, Stevie, he just doesn't believe that the door is the way out and this thing's really going to end, and he just doesn't even believe at all. Johnny goes around and Johnny keeps on finding kids, and some of the kids look miserable. And he says, "Hey, can I give you some of my food? Here's some of my food. It's only a day, no big deal. You know what? I got a bunch of tickets. You want to ride on that ride? Here's some tickets there. But you know what? Let me tell you, the door over there is the only way out, and tomorrow you got to go through the door. And you know what? I don't need to ride all the rides the whole time. And you know what? I don't have to do that here. You need something? Oh, you look sad. What's the matter with you?" And he goes and takes time, because one of the rules is loving those who are hurting and taking care of them. And he's forgetting all about the rides, and he's not quite doing as many fun things as everybody else. And one little kid doesn't have any friends, so he says, "Here, I'll go with you. I have some tickets left. Let's go on this ride here." And he rides the ride that kid wants to ride. He didn't really want to ride that ride, but that kid needed him to ride that ride. And you know what? He goes and he just takes care of the people. All the promises and all the things that Mikey could earn, he starts making a deal. "You know what? I'll give you my promises of treasure if you'll just give me some more tickets. I got to go more rides. Give me your tickets. I'll give you all my promises." And he starts selling everything. And boy, he gets a wagon pulling behind him. He's got big stuffed animals. He's got things. His face is full of cotton candy. He's got pop and goo and everything. He's riding down every ride. He's having the time of his life. The day passes, and they all three do their own thing. Next morning rolls around. Boy, some kids really had a lot of fun. They rode every ride, played everything, did everything, had the best time of their life. It was the best 24 hours they ever had. And the master comes, says, "Who believes in my door?" And a bunch of people go through the door, which is Jesus. When those people go out the door, the entire place goes pitch black. Every carnival ride's gone, and fire consumes everything there and everything in it, including the children who didn't believe. Mikey, before that, starts walking through the door and says, "I believe." And he says, "Okay." He's got his wagons and things in tow and all the fun things he brought. And the master says, "Okay, leave everything there. Take off that hat." No, this is, I gave everything up for this stuff." He says, "You don't get to keep anything. You don't get anything." "Well, I got that pocket full of suckers too." "Hand them over." "But this hat, I got this cool sweater, and it's got this, and I got this, and look at that, my whole thing, I won those animals, and I won that, and I've got the money, and I got a bunch of money from the contest machine, I got everything, come on, let me bring it." "You don't get to keep anything." "Well, why did I do that?" "I spent all that effort to get all this stuff and take it with me." "You can't take it with you. By the way, no U-Hauls behind the hearses." Doesn't matter what you got in this world, you don't take it with you. Doesn't matter what you got. "But I had so much fun." "Yeah, for 24 hours. And you had so much fun for 70 years. If you did. And then you die. You don't take the car with you. You don't take your beachfront house with you. You don't take your wealth with you. You don't take your friends with you. You don't take your credentials with you and your degrees with you. You take nothing with you but what you earn in heaven. And many little Mikeys run around this world, and yes, they're saved, and yes, they know that, but they're living for this world, and they don't want to be discomforted. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't want to go do this. I don't want to give my money. Make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they receive you into everlasting habitations. I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't want to give out a Bible. I didn't want to give my money. I didn't want to pray when I was tired. I didn't want to read a Bible. I want to just have fun and be comfortable and... Okay, you'll take nothing with you. You'll be saved like as though by fire. Still saved, you're saved by grace through faith. But you know what? I would save now. Because you can retire at 40 and live a good rest of your life. And not be struggling and getting evicted from your, kicked out of your house or evicted from your apartment when you're 60 and you're too old to work anymore. And you live a miserable rest of your life. But I'm talking about heaven now. You lived in pleasure on this earth, and you had fun, and you lived for the temporary things you wanted to do, and you are going to live forever. Not for a long time. Forever. You never stop living. And those of you who decide to live a sacrificial life for the Lord in 10 trillion, 50 trillion, whatever gazillion years, you're still in a mansion in heaven. Rejoicing in your rewards that you sacrifice now. Yeah, you lost a few friends. Yes, you gave a few bad habits that you really liked. And you sacrificed your music you wanted to listen to for a while. And you sacrificed some addictions. But you know what? It's going to last forever, the rewards. It's worth it. Everything's going better now. Everybody's spending everything they have now again. And they're all going to crash again. And don't spend now. Save it until afterward. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word that it warns us, Lord, to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Lord, the things of this world and the sufferings we go through are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I pray today, Lord, that we decide to live for eternity. Lord, it wouldn't just be people who go out and spend everything, all their influence, all their time, all their energy, all their money on the things of this world that won't last. We live for eternity. And Lord, if there's somebody today who's not saved, someone today who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven, may today they trust Christ as their Savior, because there's nothing in this world worth sacrificing for eternity with you, Lord. Help them to be saved today. Lord, I pray that every one of us as Christians would begin to be willing to work hard and labor, to be busy, to suffer now, to get reward later. And Lord, help all of us to be saved today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.